You're about to experience the Matt Johnston Show, where we guarantee 100% disappointment 100% of the time. Are you feeling stressed? Not enough time in the day? Frustrated by the struggles of everyday life? Then go somewhere else, because we can't help you with any of that. Just push stop and go get a massage or make a TikTok or something. And now, here's your host, guaranteed to bore you out of your mind and make you question your life choices, Matt Johnston. All right. That's right. You make you question your life choices. What's up, Ryan?
What is up, my friend?
So Ryan and I, Ryan's a big Twitch streamer. He's my go-to Twitch guy. And we're going to be talking a lot of video games today, motherfuckers. So
yeah.
If you're not interested in this, get out.
Get out, you coward.
Because I'm not here for you. I'm just here to talk about video games. This is very selfish. Ryan doesn't even understand how much. So we're gonna get into it. So anyway, Ryan and I met in Vegas because I used to live in Vegas. I used to live in Vegas right after grad school. I got a job. I went to Newhouse and I was going to be in TV news. And then my first job out of grad school was in Vegas working in TV news, and I was a producer overnight. And then I got promoted to like weekend evenings. Lucky freaking me. And then yeah, so much better. And Ryan was like running the control. You're basically running the control room, right? Is that what they I feel like I blocked this all out of my mind in some weird way. But yeah, you were like in charge of all of the like all the technicians in the control room all the time, right? So that's how we met. And you sometimes you would drag your ass out of your house to like do overnights with me, and that's how we met, because I didn't see anybody else ever.
Right.
I'd leave at 7 a.m. and that's when everybody else would get there. So
that's a brutal schedule, dude. That is an absolutely brutal schedule. But yeah, dude, yeah, I was a production manager for years. And, you know, but before then I had gone through every position. So I just kind of learned my way up, and being able to have free reign of the control room and learn everything that was in there has been absolutely huge in just moving forward and in my career and things that I do on the side as well. Just being able to have that technical knowledge.
Dude, but TV sucks ass.
Like, it's terrible. Dude, that's what I said. News is terrible, dude. Yeah,
like, do not work in TV news. Like, do not.
Yeah,
like,
it's a trap. It's grindy,
and it's not like I'm bitching about not getting paid enough. Like, that, it's not that. It's that they have no money, so like you feel this like scarcity vibe penetrating the whole newsroom, and yeah, like nobody has enough time and resources. Everybody's working long, awful hours. There are no like amenities or like perks. It's just
right.
Like non-stop ratings chasing like all the time. And everybody's miserable.
Right.
Miserable. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's not, I mean,
I don't know. I think it's more of the, what we had in mind and what you think it is, and then you get into it and you're like, oh, this is not it. I mean, it is, but it's not on a much less level than what you thought it was. But I mean, I get it, putting the time in and stuff like that. And but that's a part of that business too, is like you've got to be willing and open to moving a bunch of different markets and trying to work your way up. But again, it's all the same thing.
Totally.
And it's just that,
yeah,
you know, that ratings chase, that clean DR chase, that whatever, you know, you're just a cog in a wheel. And if you were to be removed, that cog would continue moving, you know, moving forward. So you get to the point where it's just like not only just bombarded with terrible news on a daily basis, but then you've got a high level of stress. You've got, you know, crazy deadlines. It's a terrible mix.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's not cool. It's really no surprise that I ended up like spending the rest of my career like doing happy, positive stuff and everything. I got sick of reporting on like car crashes, or it was always autopeds in Vegas because everybody's always Everybody's always freaking getting drunk and running through the road and getting run over. Like, it literally happens every night. I assume right. It still does. Maybe they fixed it. That was a long time ago.
I hardly watch the news anymore, dude. I get my news a lot of times from YouTube. to be honest, there's some
video game news, so you really don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Hey, who are your favorite video game YouTubers?
Favorite video game YouTubers.
Yeah. I've got a list. I want to know what your list is. I have like a list in my head, but I want to know what your list is.
So one of my faves is I Am Bife. He's a Destiny content creator. CB Gray is another Destiny content creator. For the most part, I don't really
They're just Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of my YouTube, I guess I don't go to YouTube to watch gaming a lot. If I'm watching gaming, it'll be on Twitch. If I'm on YouTube, then it's watching I can't think of his name. That chapter that goes over, he goes over like different like murder mystery cases and stuff like that throughout the world. So I watch him a lot. He's a great creator. I watch a lot of like tech people, just to get ideas, and see what other people are doing as far as tech and in the digital world. So I'll watch like a lot of tutorials and things like that. YouTube has basically become my Encyclopedia Britannica, essentially. Anytime I've got a question or I need to know how to do something, I'll go to YouTube and I'll look it up.
That's why I think it's the biggest opportunity, personally, because a lot of people are using that. In fact, I'm finding like a lot lately that my behavior, like I'll search for something I want the answer to on Google, and it won't be a great experience for me because like the first six things will be an ad and then I won't really get what I want from the rest of them. And then I'll just be like, oh, I should just search YouTube. And it's always got a better answer. And it's easier to show you like it's becoming it's known as like the second biggest search engine or whatever. But like that's why YouTube is the biggest opportunity in marketing, in my opinion, because it is becoming this encyclopedia, but it's like Wikipedia and you can create whatever you want. I mean, you could be an encyclopedia for anything. And of course, the bad part about that is you can't fact check any of it. we don't need Big Brother like watching us like that. Like, let's just, you know, it's good stuff. So, okay. Right. So I'll tell you mine because you might want to subscribe to them because they're sweet.
Yeah.
SkillUp is my favorite. He's sick. He has almost 1 million subscribers, right?
I feel like I've heard that name before.
He's super popular. He should have more subscribers. Yeah, he has 834,000 subscribers. He's in Australia, and he's great. He's awesome. His reviews are really good. Every week he does a very, like a 30-minute, I listen to everything on, I watch every video on 1.75x anyway. He does like a 30-minute like video game news wrap up for the week, and it's filled with like tongue in cheek stuff and humor. And he's smart, and I like the way he thinks about games. He's worth watching for sure. I love Game Ranks, which sounds silly because like it's one of these just listicle channels, but it was founded that way. But like they have 7 million subscribers. But dude that does Game Ranks is his name is Jake Baldini. Is that his name? Anyway, he's awesome. He's just like the coolest guy. He's still in half of the videos. He does the news one on Fridays. He's just like, I love the way he thinks about games. And actually, SkillUp and him have a podcast together now, which is cool. Those are two of my favorite YouTubers for sure. Like every time I want to see a review of a new game, I watch their stuff. Game Ranks does every new game. SkillUp just like picks and chooses. Those are my favorites for sure. And
I subscribe.
Yeah, they're awesome. I don't know if there's anybody else. Like those two stick out to me above all. I'm just looking through my thing now. SkillUp, Game Ranks. Yeah, I follow Jake Baldino also has his own channel too, which is worth following. Yeah, so I follow a lot of other gamer guys too, but those two are the only ones where I'm like, those are the must subscribes for sure.
Right.
I watch every new video they put out. They are sick. They are so sick. I love those guys. So who do you like? So the hard thing for me in Twitch is like, if I want to go watch, like, how do you, like, do you have it? Do you follow it like TV used to be? Like, do you just know when your favorite creators are going to stream, your favorite streamers are streaming, and then you just, like, you tune in at that time? You're like, oh, he's got a stream on now. He's probably playing Destiny or something. And you just, you go to it? Or is it more like when you have time or whatever?
It's a lot of times it's when I have time. There's people that I will specifically, you know, I know what their schedule is. But I mean, you got to think too, especially some of these creators are doing it full time. They're streaming damn near every day. So, you know, sometimes twice a day. So, I mean, the grind is real on that. But a lot of times too, how I'm viewing Twitch is I'll have it up and I'm working or I'm playing a game and I'll pop in. If somebody says something or something happens, then I'll go in and chat. I used to do a lot more chatting in people's streams. It's just hard. I mean, again, it's that time commitment and being able to take the time to sit down and build and form relationships. But really, that's what it is. And that's what I learned when I first started getting into it. It was like, it's not even like for me anyway, it didn't even matter what the people are playing. It was more about just hanging out, talking with people, having a good time, whatever the energy or the vibe is of the chat and the streamer, you know, you kind of feel that and you kind of take that on. So it's always something that I kind of focused on. But yeah, for the most part, I'm more of a lurker nowadays. But there's still people that if they're streaming, I just enjoy having them up because they're fun to listen to. And then again, too, there's people within the community that I'm friends with and I've become friends with where I'm in, hey, what's going on? It's been a while, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So it really is. And that's the fun part about Twitch is just being able to build a community with people that are either like-minded or not like-minded. And but definitely there's just something that people find a reason they want to come back. They have a good time. They're able to escape what's going on in their world and just hang out in this world. I mean, again, I barely even see people IRL these days, to be honest. Most of my socializing happens on Twitch or somewhere on the internet as opposed to physically going out, you know, which is kind of crazy because 10 years ago, I would have told you, oh, yeah, you got to be careful on the internet. You might get kidnapped. I believe that's what, you know, growing up, that's what they said about it. Now I'm staying with strangers. I've had strangers, and they're not strangers. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say they're strangers. They're friends, but they were strangers at one point in time, people that I met on the internet. You know what I mean? I've had them come to my house. I've been to their places. I've gone, you know, and traveled and seen them. So it really is something special. And I think that really is the big, just the big thing about streaming and Twitch. It's more about that as opposed to some of the other things that people are seeing. So I enjoy it. I don't know. I feel like I just kind of went off the handle there. And
well,
the question.
yeah. Well, like what? So what? But why? So like the last time that you and I had like a formal chat about Twitch, I want to make sure we don't get too businessy with this show because, like, that's not why I'm here, honestly. But, like, the last time we talked about it, I was really intrigued by this whole thing because I was like, well, I should be streaming on Twitch, you know? I love the idea of it. There's a lot of community stuff that's built into Twitch. And you feel, like, I feel like I felt at the time, and I feel now, a very slight pull from Amazon, who owns Twitch, a slight pull from them to try to make, to broaden it out from gaming, similar to Discord. However, and I did try doing a show there for a while, and it was enjoyable, but ultimately, it's just like, I couldn't figure out why. I mean, ultimately, it made more sense to stream somewhere else for my purposes.
Right.
Trying to figure, I'm still grappling with it. And I think recently you and I, like, we were talking about being on this show together, and I was like, oh, you know, I haven't even reactivated my Twitch, but I use this Wave platform, which I love, which I can go to Twitch if I want to. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I set it up and I've been dicking around in there. And I still feel that slight pull from Amazon because, like, I'll go on the Twitch home screen And the things that they show me at the top are not necessarily gamers. Like, it's like somebody playing guitar or something like that. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel a slight pull that it's not just gaming. And I don't really care about that, but it's kind of like, to make this like something where it becomes a live streaming platform for everybody and a destination. I mean, like, if you're going to be all games, that's fine. Or, but if you're going to be for everybody, I feel like they want to go there, but they haven't really made any moves to go there. So I'm kind of, you know what I mean?
I don't really know.
Like, there's that just chatting category where you can find all this stuff.
Right.
But that's all
So there is, and they've been adding on to that. I know there's a podcasting category now. There's cooking categories. And I've got friends that do that. I've got another buddy that goes and does basically finds a haunted location in different areas, and he'll stream these paranormal streams and stuff like that. So if you remember too, Twitch.tv used to be Justin.tv. Justin.tv is where you'd go. They'd have live streams of, huh?
They had a lot of live sports on there, didn't they?
Yes, exactly. That's primarily how I watched sports. That was out of market and stuff
that. Yeah, it was like bootleg.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like, if you wanted to watch sports and you didn't have TV or whatever, you'd go to Justin.tv and then somebody would like give them a takedown notice or whatever.
Yes, exactly. You already know. So they are originally started out with primarily that kind of content. And then at some point it shifted more over to gaming, but it has always been open to being able to, live stream basically whatever. That's one of the things that I really enjoyed. And what really got me into live streaming was the fact that you basically have your own channel, your own digital channel that you could push out any content within terms of service, of course. But there was no restrictions as far as content. Now they are building out more, like we were saying, adding more categories. You have a lot more musicians. I've got some musician friends that are on there and have found success streaming on Twitch. Twitch isn't really the place to build that community. Now they are looking. I know that it hasn't rolled out to everybody yet, but I know that they've made some changes, or they're going to be implementing some changes into like the homepage feed, where it actually categorizes people differently. You're able to view streams without actually going into the stream, and you can even interact with them and stuff like that. So they are making moves now to address more of that discoverability, because that's one of the biggest cons of Twitch.
Problem, yeah.
Yes.
You could just start streaming on Twitch for a year and nobody would ever see you unless you started doing your own shit on the back end. Unlike YouTube, where if you just start creating and the content is good and everything like that, like, you'll get eventually found through search. But Twitch, that's not the case, right? You'll just be a cipher.
And you could possibly, because there are the browsing things and stuff like that. But I mean, again, one of the biggest things as a Twitch streamer that and people all say, diversify your content, build your audience off platform, bring them onto the platform.
Right.
Essentially is what it is. And that's how
Twitch and Amazon shouldn't want that. Shouldn't they want you to build your audience on the platform? Wouldn't that make more sense? Because then you can make more money in advertising and everything, because Twitch ads are a real thing. So I don't understand. I don't understand why they haven't moved more to that. And I wonder if it's an identity crisis. Like, should we just stay as a gamer haven? I don't know.
I mean, even if it just stayed as a gamer haven, they still need to be able to address the fact that it's hard to find people. There just needs to be a better system. And I feel like a lot of that kind of, there's a sociability about it. I don't even know if that's a word. There's a social.
It is now, motherfucker.
That's right. there's a social aspects of it. But I think, too, one of the big things about it, though, is that there's just no organic way of finding other creators that you may enjoy, and it's something that they really need to look at, because the market share now is getting bigger and bigger. New platforms are coming out all the time. We saw Mixer, which got popular for a while and before they ended up shuttering down. But I know a lot of people were moving over to Mixer just because, there were better features than right. Twitch had. But again, right. what Twitch has is the numbers. Everybody is familiar with that. Everybody knows that. Look, that is the comfort zone for most people watching yeah. live streams, you know, and I can attest to that. I'm the same way. I've tried going on YouTube and I feel awkward. You know, I was like, oh, I don't, you know, where's my emotes? Where's my like, what is going on here?
Because, like, and this is the other thing that's cool. Like you've mentioned this to me a bunch of times. Like when you're actually streaming, like we're streaming this right now. Like when you're actually streaming in Twitch, like you have there's a lot more like baked in community features and stuff, right?
Wait, I'm sorry, you cut out just a second. Would you say there's a lot of baked in community features?
Yeah, like baked in community features, you know, like you can reward people for doing certain things. There's like you can win like right, like you get like powered up and stuff. Like there's all sorts of stuff, right? It's almost gamified, right?
But I feel like a lot of that stuff isn't technically integrated into Twitch. It's third party developers and other people that are creating these almost like plugins essentially, and then you use that stuff in Twitch
or like Twitch, a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, so like I have this program called Lion
Ramble. Amazon has more money than God. Why don't they just buy right. up all these companies and just fix it all?
They could do that, but I think too that's where it's like, what are your guys' intentions with Twitch? Obviously, they're making more money. We've been seeing a lot more push for advertising. They just recently shifted the advertising revenue. I think as an affiliate now, I get like 30%. I want to say. Of ad share revenue, so they're really pushing
your channel, like or on your
all my streams, yes. Which again isn't going to be very much because I'm not getting, I don't have like thousands and hundreds of people watching, it's literally pennies that I'm getting in terms of that. But you could see, even from my standpoint, you could see where they're pushing that more, or they're saying, hey, there's a new program. I can't remember if it's out or if it's coming out, but essentially, if you push X amount of ads within an hour or something like that, then they basically say you get paid out at this amount of money. Doesn't matter how many people are in there or not. So they're trying to incentivize even more streamers pushing out advertising and stuff like that. But even within their advertising and how they serve their advertising is a little weird, because you have these advertisers and then you have these streamers that it's like, wait a second, that ad does not go, this streamer, like this is for a kid's product or something like that. But this streamer is over there, you know, doing something crazy. So that's another area that they need to look at, is how they're serving their ads. And I don't know how the back end looks for them or what they utilize to push that stuff out and whatnot. But that is also problematic as far as, because then you'll have a ton of, like, I'll get the same ad like four times in a row, or they'll push out like seven ads before a person can come into my stream
I've looked into it, and so I know you're not as involved in the advertising world as I am. So the way that it works with all this other shit is that, you know, it's a self-serve ad platform. So like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, even Hulu now, they have like, it's a YouTube, it's a self-serve ad platform. So anybody can go in, create an ad account, put in a credit card and start running ads. And Twitch, for whatever reason, I was looking into this recently because I was like, hey, this might be an opportunity, because, you know, video marketing is my jam. But Twitch treats their advertising with a classic TV model. Like, you can't just buy ads. You need to contact a salesperson at Twitch, and it's a minimum. It's like a minimum buy of a ridiculous amount of money. I don't remember what it was. It's like you have to spend like at least 15 to 20 grand or something to buy on those platforms. So it's more like a TV advertising model. You can't just advertise. Yeah. That is probably why you're seeing so many of the same ads and everything like that. I mean, there's just not that many people advertising on Twitch. And
right.
I think they should move to a to a self-serve model. I think they could make a lot more money for sure. I mean, there's a lot of things that you'd want to sell to gamers, not just gamer stuff, but like, just think about it. Just think about it. You know, like this company, Secret Lab, you know, I've got two Secret Lab chairs because I'm a dork and I love them. They could be advertising. What do you have?
I'm a zip chair guy.
Zip chair? Nice.
Most comfortable chair I've ever sat in my life, man.
I have to tell you, though, Secret Lab has the best unboxing experience of any chair I've ever. It's obviously the gamer chair, right? Like, if you're a gamer, you got to have a Secret Lab chair. And I just, you know, play into that. But it is really comfortable. But it's the best unboxing experience I've ever had in my life. Like, it is a present. It's a whole presentation. It's a whole thing when you get the box.
I love that.
It's pretty sick.
I love that.
If you ever end up getting one, you'll see what I mean, man. Like, it's pretty sick. So anyway, I don't know if it's a, I feel like I'm going to put, like, you have to do a lot of work to get visibility there right now. And I've been waiting for, like, we had this conversation like 2 years ago, 3 years ago about this, and they haven't really changed much. So does it make sense to start streaming on Twitch instead of YouTube or any other platform right now? If you're not,
I wouldn't say instead. The problem right now is, and this is where, and I believe that eventually they'll have to address this as well. But the problem is that they have exclusivity rights when you stream on Twitch as an affiliate. If you are not an affiliate, you technically can restream without any kind of repercussions or breaking TOS, which I personally think that's definitely a route to go, to just be able to push it out to a lot of different platforms instead of saying if you're streaming on Twitch, you're only on Twitch and you can't even push out any content from that stream until 24 hours after that stream. It's dumb because no other model or no other service is exclusive like that. So I think it's something that they'll have to address. Again, there are ways to get around that. One way we were on one of the podcasts that I'm on is we would stream to Facebook and YouTube and then stream to Twitch. I would push out the stream from Twitch from my computer. My co-host Davis would push out to Facebook and YouTube. So we technically had two different sources and they weren't the same stream. It's kind of how we skirted around the TOS on that, because you can't stream at the same time is what they're saying, essentially. But because they're two separate streams, he's got his stream going and I've got my stream going. Then we never got in trouble or anything like that for that. But it's just a very convoluted way of being able to do that. And again, it's like, look, you want your creators to be as successful as possible. The more successful we are, the more successful the company is going to be. And, you know, that translates, hopefully for them, into dollar signs and stuff like that. So it doesn't make sense to kind of wall us off and say, no, your content for this is exclusive here. And you see people jumping ship and going over to YouTube gaming now as well. I'm guessing that they're probably sending out better contracts. But I mean, think about it. There's a lot of people that do this too. They'll be like, oh, I'm pushing for partner on Twitch and this and that. And it's like, but why? What do you get by being a partner on Twitch? You get a check mark. You could possibly negotiate more of a share in your subscriptions and stuff like that. Cause right now as an affiliate, they take 50% off the top, that subs, bits, all that stuff. That's a huge chunk. You know what I mean? It's like, I understand that they're the platform, but I don't know. I mean, I would think more of like a 20%, is more in line for something like that as opposed to a 50% chunk. And then if you get partner, you may be able to negotiate a better rate, like a 70-30 rate or something like that. But even still, you still have to grind just as hard, if not more hard, when you become partner, because you also have that drop off where people like to help other people achieve these goals and stuff like that. But once you've then achieved that goal, you will see a drop off in number. I've seen a number of partners talk about how their numbers just completely fell off once they got partnered. And it's like, look, dude, that's not the end game. Getting partner is the beginning. That's essentially saying, hey, you're consistently getting a decent amount of viewers. The CCV or a concurrent viewer is 75. That's the threshold for that. I know that in some other countries it may be different. There's some changes, but that's typically what you do to even be able to apply for partner. But it never made sense to me to try to push that, and people pushing it so hard, because you're not really getting much of an advantage. And if anything, there's still a disadvantage with it being exclusive. So your content that you're creating on Twitch, I know there's a lot of people that will go on YouTube first. They'll stream on YouTube and then push their YouTube audience over to their Switch or over to their Twitch. And then they would start up their Twitch stream. So there's ways to be able to get around it and stuff like that. But it's not very creator friendly, I would have to say. And I think that's something that they're going to have to address sooner than later. Otherwise, we will see more numbers drop for their live stream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see what's happened. We'll see how it goes. I like the idea of, and this is probably what they're holding on to. I like the idea on Twitch of like bringing back like the old school mentality of like appointment television. So like, for example, like, this show, for example, like I actually live stream every day on my channel as a YouTube strategy to like, it's not to have other people like join and everything, like the way you stream and everything. Like I stream to create content that lives on YouTube, and then that like starts a whole thing. But I would love to diversify this show from that, right? So like ideally, this show, like the Matt Johnston show, it's totally different. Like, it's not all, you know, it's fun. It's more entertainment related. So it's like, what, like, I've thought about it. I'm like, like, what if we just had this on Twitch and nowhere else, so that you have to go to Twitch to watch it and you have to watch it live, you know, and then people are more likely to show up, because from human psychology, it would be like that scarcity thing, right? Like,
right,
if I enjoy this, I can't see it anywhere else. So I've thought about like running a funnel, for example, like a marketing funnel where like I have people opt in to subscribe to the show. And when they subscribe to the show, then they get the like text and email notifications like right before the show is supposed to go live, and it goes live at the same time every week, and they have to go to Twitch to do it. But then I ask myself, I still though, like, why don't I just do that on YouTube? Like, why Twitch? Because on YouTube, it'll live in perpetuity, and there's a better chance that it'll get like randomly picked up and seen by other people.
Right.
So now, even though I'm talking through it, I can't think of a good reason, you know, other than Twitch is the streaming platform. Like, that's the place to go live in real time all the time. It's not about they even call it VOD, which is like when your archive of videos is there, they call it VOD, which is so funny because that's an old school TV term, video and old school TV term. It's like literally like YouTube's just like, no, it's just like a videos, like other videos they've made, you know, on Twitch,
right.
You have to like jump through a bunch of hoops to even get them to save your past things, because they're trying to be like a live in the moment, like this is what's happening right now place.
Right.
But it's really hard to it's hard to make the argument. Anyway, what's your favorite video game of the past year?
Hold on.
That's too much because we're in summer. Favorite video game that's released in 2022.
Okay.
You
said yours is easy for 20. It feels last year. I would have said Deathloop.
We should talk about that. I have some thoughts on Deathloop.
I love Deathloop.
Why did you? So I played it. I beat it. Dude, you did not know I played as many video games as I played. I guarantee.
I did not know.
I beat it. It took me like, I'm embarrassed to say, it took me, I think, 55 hours to beat it.
Okay.
It's weird. Like, it got like IGN was in love with it. They were like masterpiece, and all these other places were like masterpiece. And then a lot of other like YouTube reviews came out, and they were like, this is not like what Arcane does the best. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty sick. But as I'm thinking back on it, I'm like, God damn, I played those same scenarios over and over.
Right. Right.
I literally played the same, which is what a roguelike is like, but it's like, I don't know. Tell me why it was your favorite game last year. Why? Why'd you love it so much?
For me, especially, it was,
it was super fun. It's, you know, and it's really, really imaginative.
It, yeah, not only that, dude, but like then the voice actors too, both of them.
He was sick, dude. Yeah,
and I had the pleasure. We interviewed him for during LAN parties. Nice. We were able to interview him and stuff like that, and we were talking about it. And like one of the big things for me, I guess, you know, is just seeing a black protagonist in this in a story like this was really fun for me. Like I
and
really
a black
felt
antagonist.
Like. Yeah, exactly. And just having, you know, having that in there, it was me in there. You know what I'm saying? I was cool.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I feel like you don't really see that a lot. So it was fun having that. And then just the play style of it was good. The banter between all the different characters, and you had a wide variety and a very eclectic group of characters, and the cast in it was absolutely fabulous. I thought the music, we also spoke with Tom Salta. Tom Salta did the music for it as well, and the music was fantastic.
Which show is this? LAN Parties?
This was on LAN Parties,
and
yeah.
When is that air?
That is every Wednesday. We drop a new episode. It's a weekly video game and esports podcast that we do for the Review Journal.
We do have
a YouTube. I'm slacking on getting up episodes for sure. But we have We recorded. Yeah, exactly. So I know eventually that there's plans. We'd love to be able to do some of them live. We just haven't, with everything that's happened and stuff like that, we just haven't. And not only that, but we have our normal day to day jobs that we have to do as well. So that's only a part of what we do during the day. But we do it weekly, and we try to have people on from the industry every week. And we've had, you know, actors, we've had musicians, we've had game developers. Actually, this episode that's coming out next week, this is a exclusive here. We sat down with Carolyn Marshall, who is the CEO of Interior Night and the creative director that did games such as As Dust Falls, which I just beat.
I saw you've been streaming Rain. That. I haven't gotten to that.
I loved it. Like that game, and for narrative games,
it's free,
like,
on Game Pass. So
it is free.
Yeah.
Yes, dude, and it is a
free,
narrative.
You know, it costs me $20 a month, but whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, we get our money's worth though.
Oh yeah, more.
Yeah, so that game was just, you know, just being able to speak to her about just being able to create a game like that. It's literally a choose your own adventure, but it's a multiplayer choose your own adventure. It integrates directly into your Twitch chat. So either your community can, like, and that's what I did. Like, I basically, my community was the one that said which way the story was going to go. And then I was just trying to hit the skill checks, which I would end up messing up. Your face is
like
something.
Buttons.
Yeah, because sometimes you had to mash a button or do a circle or something like that. And I'm sitting there watching, just like, oh,
like
snap!
Telltale games. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a really good game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll play it. I'll play it for sure. Okay, so Deathloop last year. Yeah, I thought the gameplay was pretty solid. Loved the voice acting. Like, that was like top notch. It was fun. It was like a detective. Okay, but what about in 2022? For me,
2022.
By the way, it would have been Guardians of the Galaxy if we included last year.
Oh my goodness, that was so good. All right, can I just say that I like the game version of the Guardians of the Galaxy
better than the
film version.
Oh, yeah.
So much better, dude.
Oh my god.
So much better.
The narrative was better. The void, the mm-hmm. actors, the acting was better. The story was so good. So
mm-hmm.
good.
Oh. I feel like that was one of the most underrated games from last year. It did not get nearly enough love.
And I'm a little worried because Eidos Montreal just got bought. And
yes.
I'm wondering what's going to end up happening with them, because they obviously know their shit. Like, that game was so good. It was so
mm-hmm.
I can't wait to play it again. I can't wait. It was so cool. Were you like me? Were you like, did you think you beat the game when the credits rolled there at the end? And then you're like, oh, you motherfucker.
It's like, son of a bitch. It's not over.
Nope. Yeah. That game was so good. So that would have been my pick for last year. Like, I was like, that's game of the year for me last year. That game was amazing. But what about so far this year?
This is tough.
A lot of good stuff this year. So,
it's funny that you say that because I feel like this year has so far been a little underwhelming. From me, there was a lot that was scheduled out to be coming out this year that ended up getting pushed back. Yeah, because I thought this year was going to be spicy. I was like, dude, I don't know when I'm going to have time to do all this stuff that I say that I'm going to do because I mean, when will I do that? A game. I'm trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of something that came out this year that has really just kind of captured me. And right now, what I'm really enjoying, and I'm not even like playing it on stream or anything like that, is Live Alive. It's on the Switch.
Oh, that just came out. Is it good?
Yes. I am really enjoying that. Yes, that is a nice JRPG, dude.
2D pixel JRPG?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And it like basically like it's like five or six different stories within a game and different technological errors. I'm really enjoying it. I believe it is a remake.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I never played the original, but I was like when I saw that and I heard the concept, I was like, oh, dude, I was like, that is really cool. I was like, I am going to, and I don't play a lot of Switch games, but that was one I was like, all right, dude, I have got to pick that up. For sure. But I mean, a lot of the games that I'm playing too are games that are just basically ongoing, right? So like I play a lot of Destiny 2, which is just ongoing. I love
Live service games. I don't really play those.
Yes. There's a lot of those, but again, even those they get very grindy and they can become a little monotonous. You know, so that's where it's just like I enjoy the story. Yeah, you know, and they've done a lot better job of incorporating the story into the game. Tiny Tina's is a lot of fun.
I didn't play that. You played that?
Dude, if you're a fan of the Borderlands series at all.
I played a little bit of Borderlands 3, but I haven't really. I have it, but I haven't played a lot of it. So, but it looks like Tina's really good.
Yeah, it's like a D&D. It's almost like playing a D&D game. Yeah. But, yeah, but with the different elements and stuff like that, it is a ton of fun, and they always do. Gearbox does a great job with their characters, and they're just fun looting. If you like looter shooters, like those are top notch looter shooters.
Dude, this is so easy for me. Can you guess what my favorite game of 2022 is?
Elden Ring.
Yeah, Elden Ring is the best fucking game ever made. Elden Ring is the best game ever made.
I knew it. I was like, Elden Ring is most likely going to win game of the year this year. The only thing that could possibly, I think, even come in the same realm possibly would be God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
That is going to be tough.
Because you know it's going to be sick, but Elden Ring is going to win.
I think
Elden Ring's like the game of a generation. Dude, okay.
That's what everyone.
Let me talk about this. So, do you play Souls games or no? Are you like?
I hate them, dude. I hate them. They are the bane of my existence. I will not touch those games.
Okay. Well, you suck, and we're not friends anymore. Dude, listen. Here's the deal. So, Souls games. Okay. So I knew Elden Ring was coming out, and I'm a nerd. So this is like around the time when I got Guardians of the Galaxy, like around October. I actually like started this gaming hobby about a year and a half ago. And so I haven't been playing games super, super long since I was a little kid. However, I have made up for that with about 10 years worth of video game playing in the last year and a half. So I've played like everything. and it's been amazing for me because, you know, you ever like discover a music artist like later on in their career and you're like, they're sick. And then you're like, oh, I got all these albums I can listen to now. That's how I feel about video games. Like I'm going back to like Like, I just finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I was like, oh, yes, my God. And for me, that's brand new, you know?
Even right.
It just came out in 2017. I loved it, man. Cloud is such a badass.
So, yes.
He's just like, fuck you, I don't care. Like, I love that guy. He's just like, where's my money? Right. His character develops over time. Did you play it? You played it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
His character develops over the time, and he gets more of a heart and blah, blah, blah. It's a great story. But and I never played a Final Fantasy game before that one, actually.
So you never played the original?
No. I missed. Literally, from Nintendo 64 to PS5, I played no video games.
Wow.
Like, I would say, so first I got an Xbox Series S because I was, So first I got a Switch, and I was enjoying that for like a year and a half. And I was like, oh, my God, Breath of the Wild is so fucking good. Oh, my God. I beat it twice. It's like the best game ever, obviously. And then I started getting into other things. I'm actually really obsessed with, I've beaten it twice, and the sequel's coming out in October. It's like the most underrated game ever, even though the reviews are good. Mario Rabbids Kingdom. Amazing game.
I've never played.
Have you ever played XCOM?
I know of XCOM. I have never played XCOM, though.
It's real-time turn-based strategy.
Ooh, XCOM, I love those types of games.
It's incredible. And essentially what they did was they made like a Mario Rabbids XCOM, and it is so well done. It's like this weird... It's Ubisoft and Nintendo working together. It's like a really...
That is a weird combination, really weird. Yeah.
Really, but it works. Dude, get it, because I bet you the one from 2017 is super cheap right now. You should totally.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be interested in Marvel Midnight Suns then, right?
Oh, I can't wait for Midnight. Oh, I can't wait for Midnight Suns, dude. It's been on my list forever. Of course, they delayed it like a billion times. But like, it's coming.
Right. It's coming. Yes.
So anyway, long story short, I played a bunch of shit and we'll talk about it. But like, I was really looking forward to Elden Ring because everybody was. And I'm a hype train guy. I'm like, I want to get on the hype train. And of course, George R. R. Martin did the stuff. And I was like, okay. I don't even like Game of Thrones, really. I think it's overrated and shitty. But like, I wanted to be a part of this. And so I bought Dark Souls 1. And also, I consume a lot of gaming journalism. And so, like, not a little bit of IGN. I don't love IGN, actually. But like, I get news from there. I get most of my gaming news from YouTube. And everybody's always talking about Souls games, Souls-like, this Souls, that Souls, like how amazing, you know. So I was like, okay, I'm going to buy Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 3 just because they're really cheap now, just to like, because I feel like I needed to experience it. Because when I go all in on something, I go all in. Like, I don't do anything halfway, really. So like, I'm like, okay, I need to play all these games. I'm sick of like, I want to play this because it's a Souls-like, but not know what that means.
Right.
So I got Dark Souls 1 and I started playing it, and I got to the first boss and I just fucking, I rage quit so many times. Like, I just, and I basically put it away for like 6 months and I wouldn't play it. I was like, this is not what a video game should be like. Video games should be fun. Like, I was so pissed. I was not.
That was
interested.
Me.
I know.
But that was just then, like 10 years ago. I put it down and never picked it back.
Dude, you got to pick it back up, because in December, I said to myself, Matt, you're going to get your shit together. You spent money on these games. You're going to get your shit together, and you're going to get through that boss on Dark Souls 1. And I started playing, and I all of a sudden got obsessed with Dark Souls 1. It is amazing, because once you start figuring it out, the combat system, which is really interesting and complex. That's not complex. It's just unique. So it's very defensive and it's almost turn-based in a weird way.
Right.
And the world that it creates, like it never tells you where to go. It never tells you what to do. The lore makes very little sense. And you're just going, you have to look stuff up on Reddit to figure out where to go. But part of that is the cool thing about it. Like, it's a game that was sort of made by the community because they gave you no answers.
Right.
And it's like, there's nothing like beating a boss that you've died to 20 times, you know, like that rush. And I just got so obsessed with it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best video game. Like, amazing. And so then Elden Ring came out, and yeah, 190 hours later, I finally put it down. I mean, I was
damn
that thing, man. I love that game. Like the it was beautiful. Did you even buy it? You probably didn't even buy it.
Oh. No. Nope. I knew it from the jump off. I was like, nah. Good.
And then you're gonna hate me even more. After I beat Elden Ring, I needed more, so I bought Sekiro.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be the hardest. Sekiro is absolutely incredible. Like I almost like it more than Elden Ring. Like it's so
wow. I think I have that game too.
It's really hard.
Yeah. Hard. That's why I'm sitting there collecting digital dust. I'm like, do I really want to put myself through that? Nah.
Oh, it is so good. It's so good. You have to parry basically, you know, the parry mechanic and all forever. You have to parry essentially every single swing by the enemy. So you're like, it's almost like a rhythm game. Parry, swing, parry, swing, parry, swing, parry, swing, parry, swing. And then it's so good.
Challenging. I understand why people enjoy them.
Let's do a YouTube channel where we just like I tried blank for the first time. And then, you know, we can have Ryan trying Dark Souls for the first time. And the whole time.
Yeah, so my brother.
There you go.
That is true. Because I was like, my brother got me Dark Souls 2, is what he got me.
I haven't played it yet. Everybody has a thing on that
one. Brutal. It was brutal. I played probably an hour of it, and I was like, nope, this game ain't for me. I haven't even gotten to a freaking save point. I was like, this is ridiculous. Said, nope, I'm done. Never even going to look at you again. Yeah, sure.
You got to be willing to like play the same stuff. It's a roguelite, you know? I mean, like, you kind of, you know.
I would be willing. Yeah, I think I do need to. I think maturity wise, as a gamer, I was definitely way more immature in terms of games. So I feel like I've developed more patience for being able to play certain games, whereas before I was more of the Leroy Jenkins. I'm just trying to run in, pew, 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 smash, 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 and get out, son, get my loot.
Yeah. You can't do that in Souls games. It's very like... Right. Sekiro, you have to be really aggressive, but the like Souls games, and right now I'm finishing up the Demon's Souls remake for PS5, you have to be very patient. Like, you block first. You know, and that's hard for some people to like get into their mind.
Yep.
But man, it's so good. And the leveling system, and oh God, I just love it. So I also played Horizon Forbidden West, and that was great. But I feel like, did you play that?
I did. I actually haven't even finished it yet, dude, to be honest. It
took me a while to finish because I played it. I went to Elden Ring and then I came back to it a while later. It's long.
Yeah.
It's a long
game. It is a long game. It's a beautiful looking game. I just felt that there's a couple things. Number one, especially on PS5, I feel like they underutilized the haptic controller. There is so much more they could have used and utilized with those haptics that I just felt completely got left in the dust when they were developing that game. And I think partly that was because they were in that process PS4 where they were doing it for PS4 and PS5. Exactly, dude. So it's like that, you know, that was just underwhelming. The story of what I've seen so far, you know, again, is good, but there's been such a big period of time from the first one to this one. I feel almost a little disconnected from the characters and from the story.
And it takes place like the moment the last one ended. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's just I wanted, you know, again,
the part where the bad guy like massacres everybody. Have you gotten to that yet?
No.
There's like, so the story gets better. So like essentially, just like Zero Dawn, like it takes like 10 to 15 hours for the story to like freaking start.
Right.
So you got to stick with it. And then there's this big event, which is like almost like in Zero Dawn. Remember when the kids are all running that race and then somebody comes in and kills all the kids? And it's like a massacre that starts the story. There's something similar in this coming up. And then.
Wait, are you talking about in the field on the other side of the wall?
Yeah. Oh, so you've seen that.
I have seen it. Yeah. And there's the.
So that's a big turning point. Yeah.
Yes.
And then there's another one coming up where it gets really sci-fi. It gets really sci-fi.
Okay. So I might be a little deeper. I think I know what you're talking about. okay. in terms of with Aloy and some like her past and what she's all about and stuff. Is that what you're talking about? Like
Aloy and her the other clone of yes. Elizabeth Sobeck. But then yes. also there's another character that comes in.
And I don't think I've gotten that far. Yeah.
Finally, they're
tiptoeing.
You're in the most boring part of the game right now.
And that would be why. Hard. That's why I'm struggling to continue to want to. Yeah. Yep. It's just like really good.
Yeah, you're gonna have to play another 10 hours though, and then
okay.
start picking up again. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. for me, I actually because you know, again, 10 years of gaming in a year and a half, I played Zero Dawn very recently before
yeah.
West. And for me, I was like, this is just Zero Dawn again.
Like, right.
Plus, after playing Elden Ring, I was so underwhelmed by the open world. Let me tell you why. So Elden Ring, you can't just traverse the open world like you can, and you've got a horse or it's like a donkey. It's like a magical donkey. It's a weird fuck. You know, it's a Souls game. Everything's fucked up. So you're riding this like donkey horse and you can go anywhere you want. Although if you try to go someplace too early, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Right. Right.
Like one shot kill, like easy. You have to explore. Like it rewards exploration to the nth degree. All the Dark Souls games do, even the first one. It rewards exploration like crazy. So you're always looking around and you need to explore to really progress. So you have to. And that level of it's not just side quests and shit. It's like deep exploration that you have to do. And that, like when I got to the end of the game, I knew the map like the back of my hand because I had to traverse it all and I had to see it all and become part of this world.
Right.
So games like, and that was so cool. Like I felt it was very immersive. Whereas Horizon Forbidden West follows that Ubisoft like formula for open world games where you end up not knowing the map for shit because you fucking glide everywhere or you just like me, I just warp from campfire to campfire. I'm like,
right.
Okay, so here's my next objective. Where's the closest campfire? Go to that, go pursue the objective. Like it might as well not have been an open world. So I didn't feel as immersed in it. I feel like Elden Ring really changed the game with that structure because I felt so much more a part of the game. You know, and I'd never done that in an open world before. So, I mean, I got to give them huge props for that. But it also sort of ruined open world games for me. I don't know. It's a weird thing. But that's how I felt about Forbidden West. It was a beautiful world, but I didn't explore it because I didn't feel like, you know, it wasn't that interesting to me. I was just like, let's get the story over with.
Yeah, and that's basically what. Yeah, is like let's get the story over with, and it is. Yeah,
the era, like the freaking robot dinosaurs are insanely awesome.
Yeah,
combat's pretty hard, and you do have to like whip it all out there, and I don't know. So that was pretty sick. I don't know if I played. So what am I playing? I'm playing Demon's Souls Remake because I got the new PS and it's free. I'm playing Hollow Knight right now. So yeah, I'm catching up.
Heard good things about that. I've never played
Souls like.
Yeah. Like, and I've never played it.
I beat a boss this morning that I've been working on for 2 weeks. So,
oh wow, that's insane. See, dude, I don't know. I gotta give those games a shot though. I feel like I gotta give them another go because Returnal essentially is something similar.
I bought it, but I haven't played it yet. Yeah, well,
that's good.
Roguelike in that way. I hear it's really hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Hades, right? Hades was so good. Did you play Hades?
I have not played Hades yet. I have it on Game Pass, I think, though.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Hades is so good.
Yeah, I've heard good. Yeah, I heard great things about Hades. Yeah. It's just, dude, backlog is so ridiculous.
Yeah, we all have a big backlog. Yeah. I mean, like, Black Friday, I buy everything, and then it just. Because it's like, oh my God.
I'll play you later.
Like Final Fantasy VII Remake, like it was on sale for like $20. I was like, fuck it, sure. And I didn't play it
until
8 months later, but I just put it in there. Oh, Stray. Yeah. Did you play Stray?
We are playing that right now. Yeah, we are playing. We are going through that. I enjoy it. It is a cute little game.
It took 6.5 hours. So it's
okay. That's not bad. Yeah.
Very, It's very short.
That's our family game right now. Well, between that and Little Nightmares 2, because we beat Little Nightmares 1 together. And then we started on Little Nightmares 2, and I was like, oh, Stray came out too. And luckily, which was surprising, it was a day one for PlayStation Plus. Yeah. So that was a nice surprise. I hope they continue having exclusive and day one drops like that. That's the only way I feel, you know, again, I feel like Game Pass and Microsoft does a good job with that stuff. So I kind of feel like Sony's trying to almost catch up and get themselves in line to be able to have better and more offerings in terms of that. So I'd like to see more things like Stray drop day one for them as well. But that game's fun. And Anna, I think it's Annapurna, is the developer. They've got all kinds, and they just had a showcase, and they have got some spicy games. I think Rollerdrome, something like that, came out. I don't think that's the same. I think that's the people that did Ollie Ollie World. But that looked good. There's some things that are out there for sure this year. Just nothing. I feel like our really big blockbuster games, for the most part, have gotten pushed out of 2022. We'll see too. They said that God of War Ragnarok's coming out in November.
I think it is.
We'll see.
They're taking pre-order. I feel.
Are they? That don't stop them. That won't stop them.
I know. Yeah. I feel good about it, though.
I think they.
I'm waiting for. Like they have like
right.
They drop an info about that, but they have like refused to put a release date on it, which has like been so annoying. They still say that it's coming out this year.
That one's weird though too, because I mean, there's been a lot of controversy, obviously, with it being tied to the author, or you know, just in this world that we live in. Yeah, it's very much can you separate the artist from the art? I feel is the biggest thing for people that are playing that or even thinking about.
It looks really good though. It does look really good from the gameplay.
Yeah, for sure. It was one for me. I will absolutely play it. I will be playing it for sure. I was like, oh, that's fun, and you get to create your own story. Didn't have in the world.
You played that? I didn't play that. Did you?
Oh, I am currently still playing it. That's another one, dude. That game is hard as shit.
I was going to say, like, if you like Sifu and you're not playing the Souls games, like, there's a similar kind of vibe there.
It very much is. But it's also the same reason why I have not finished that game, because I have only gotten to, like, the third level. I do like it, yes. Okay. I've only gotten to the third level, though, because that was the only... And I keep having to go back to the second level because I can't beat that. Dude, I have been, like, in my 60s every time I've beaten that level, which, if you know, each year you... Or every time you die, you basically gain extra years. Yeah, and then until you become an old man. And, you know, you get more powerful the older you get, but you also have less health. Which means it's even more difficult. And then there's some things that are walled off by your age that you can no longer learn, like certain skills and things like that. So you're trying to go through as young as possible. But that's another one where you need to blocking and parrying is everything in that game. And being able to hit those checks and stuff like that is it's difficult, but it's fun and it plays out really well.
I haven't bought it yet. I'll buy it.
Yeah, it's worth it, dude. Yeah, it
probably sounds similar to Sekiro in that way with the parrying. So that's good.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've played a lot of other great stuff this year, but a lot of it is older because I've been sort of catching up.
Right.
God. But yeah, I mean, God of War I played last year. That was fantastic. Like the 2018 mm-hmm. God of War. I played Nobody Saves the World, which is a great game. You'd probably like that game. It's like a 2D, like Zelda like, but like it's a Zelda, like old Zelda like. Like Link to the Past Zelda. Like you're going.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But we still have Gotham Knights coming out this year. Xenoblade Chronicles just came out, which I have not picked up yet, but I want to play it.
I've never played any of those, but I hear they're solid.
I haven't either, but yeah, I've heard pretty good things about that. So, are you going to continue to stream on Twitch?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Despite any of the issues, like you're not going to go to YouTube, right? You're not going to bail out and go to YouTube. You're just in it.
I would like to produce more content for YouTube. Again, that's a good way to not only build your community and really start branching out, but I'm not one to just stick necessarily with just one thing. I want to be able to keep myself diversified, not only creatively, but just for content wise and myself as a brand. I want to be able to push out as much content as I can, but at the same time too, you know, with family, work, and other things, I've got to be able to do it within a time that I'm not sitting here killing myself trying to do it. You know, it's got to be where I can still be a person and do my things, but also have time to do some of that stuff too. So it's difficult because basically, I mean, like a lot of times, I'm in, you know, I'm freaking editor and producer videos and podcasts and stuff like that. So it's tough to go from doing it for work and then doing it myself because it's the same thing. It's literally in the same room. I work from home. So it's like I don't even get that separation. So it becomes difficult. And I feel like producing my own content kind of takes a back seat because by the time it comes around to doing that stuff, I'm just burnt out. So for me, I'd love to be able to find a better balance, work-life balance, and then creating and doing things on my own. You know, I mean, right now, currently, I am producing 4 different podcasts. 2 of them aren't even mine. 2 of them I'm a part of. So, you know, that in itself is a lot. And then you just put that on top of, you know, other work things and then trying to pump out stuff. I don't know how people even do social media. I try. But it's like it's so hard to go out there and then even get out of your head of people don't want to see this shit. It's just, you know, it's boring, mundane things or whatever. And I know, dude, having that mentality is so hard.
It took me a long right. time to do it as well. Yeah. Just think about yourself. Yeah. You said you're a lurker.
That's true. That is true. I know. That is very true.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do to end this here. We're going to play a game I like to play.
Yeah.
We're going to do 3 questions. We get 3 questions each. So I have randomly chosen 3 questions for you to give me. I'm going to put them in the guest chat. I don't know what they are. And I'm going to choose 3 questions for you. These are not related to anything.
Okay.
Okay. You got them? Oh, I did it in the live chat. Okay. Let me do it in the guest chat. Here we go.
Okay.
I just posted it as a comment on all of my platforms. Look at this. Which, if you could do it.
I love that.
Yeah, this is cool too. Check this out. You can like do that. This wave.
That is dope. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway. Okay. So those are the 3 you're going to ask me. You got them?
Yes. Yes, I do.
In the guest chat over there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've got 3 for you. Let's see. Okay, so I'll start with you. What's one of the most fun childhood memories you can remember?
Oh, most fun childhood memories. There's so many. I don't know that if it's necessarily just a one-time experience. I would have to say, though, something that really stands out for me was, I'm going to date myself here a little bit. I want to say it was 89 or 90. I want to say 89, when for Christmas, I got my Nintendo. And I literally just digitized this video not too long ago. So I got to go back and play out and watch little me, received his Nintendo, and just that jubilation and excitement from getting that. I literally freak out, dude. It is amazing. That one of the best moments. And little did I know that would turn into what's that?
I said that's so cool. Yeah, because that's what started the moment that started it all.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool, man. That is cool. Okay, hit me up.
Yes. So my first question is, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
I've been working on a lot of that stuff. So that's hard. I think if I could change one thing about myself, I would change my. I have always struggled a lot with alcohol and my weight. And those are really big struggles for me. And sometimes I see people who don't struggle with those things, and I'm envious right. because I have to invest a lot of time and sometimes money to handling those things. So yeah, and I, you know, I'm better now with some stuff, but like those are things that during the course of my life have always been like problematic for me. So if I could change right. one thing about myself, it would be just not having those things be a part of my life. You know?
Right.
I don't know if it's DNA or whatever it is, you know, and it's not like I'm drunk all the time or anything like that, but
right.
I've had periods of my life earlier on, like in my 20s and into my 30s when I've really struggled with these things and struggling with weight now and everything. It just, yeah. So bro, we're going to get real. That. We're going to get real. That's what it's all about. I mean, that would be it. I wouldn't change other things. Like I wouldn't change my short fingers. I wouldn't change my personality. I wouldn't change anything else. It would just, those things like have no, in one way they've made me who I am, but you know. Okay. So your second one is of all the personal questions I could ask you, wait. Oh, wow. That's an interesting one, but I think it's kind of weird and convoluted. Let me pick a different one. If you could travel to any year in a time machine, what year would you choose?
Oh, I would say I would like to go somewhere in the future. Maybe like 100 years in the future, maybe 50 years in the future. Actually 50 years in the future, because I'd love to see my kids. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I would not go to the past. People always talk about going to the past. Let me tell you, as a black person, the past is scary. Okay, I don't think I could have made it. Y'all.
So, this literally sounds like a Dave Chappelle bit right now.
People are always talking about going to the past. Hell to the nah, son. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to even see what it's like. Take me to the future where hopefully things are better.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Absolutely.
Hopefully everything's not underwater.
Right. You know. Or a number of other things that are currently happening right
now. Yeah, or we've had World War VII and everybody's been reduced to dust.
Okay, your second question. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, I like this one. The best advice I've ever received is when it was senior year of college and my girlfriend, first ever girlfriend that I'd ever had, just dumped me. And we were together for like a year and a half, and, you know, madly in love. And I was not dealing with it well. Like I was, I couldn't be alone. Like my friends had to like pass me off to each other. It's not like I wasn't like a suicide risk. I don't know what it was, but I couldn't be alone.
Yeah.
And so it was really difficult. Someone always had to be with me. And I remember I was up with my mentor at the time, a theater professor. Cause I was doing theater. That was my main thing in college. And then I went to Direct Plays in New York for 7 years after college. Like, so theater was my thing. So this was my mentor. And then you didn't know that about me?
No, I had no idea,
theater,
dude.
Theater, maybe?
Yeah, I'm a theater guy.
Yeah, I know. You're an actor, yeah. So I was up in his office. I had an independent study with him and another class or two. And I was just like, I bared my soul to him. I'm like, dude, I'm like, man, this is what's going on. Like, I can't. And we had a close relationship. And he was just, the best advice he gave me was, because this man had been through so much. He was gay and he had a partner that died of HIV and he had to take care of him. And it was like a whole thing. And then, and that, that may have happened twice. Like he'd been through so much. And he, the advice that he gave me was, sometimes when things are, sometimes when there's a massive storm and it's coming from everywhere and you can't get away from it, the best thing that you can do is just put up an umbrella and just say, this is a storm and I'm just going to be here in it. And there's there's nothing else I can do. I'm just going to be in it. I can't change it. And that was the best advice I've ever gotten, because now, because, and I give this advice to other people too, because like when there's like a torrential, terrible things that are happening in your life, it could be like a death, it could be something like getting dumped, it could be, in the middle of a divorce, you could be lose your job. I just put up an umbrella, you know, I always say, like, just, you know, so that's the best advice that I've gotten.
That's solid.
Okay. Your next one, your last one is, if you could have dinner with a famous person, living or dead, who would it be?
I would have dinner with either, it, for me, it would be either Dave Chappelle or Jim Carrey.
Dude, I fucking so much.
I love both of them. They've, you know, both of them have had such an influence growing up, and just their style of comedy and how they go about. They're very unique people, and they have very, you know, unique perspectives, and they have a great way of being able to communicate that, whether it be by you know, slapstickish comedy or just intellectual comedy, two very varying degrees of that. But I, one thing too, I love about Jim Carrey, he's actually he's one of my favorite actors. One of my all-time favorite
Truman Show. Yeah,
Truman Show was great, but my Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that is easily in my top five all-time favorite movies. Beautiful soundtrack, fantastic acting, the concept of it, everything about it, dude. I just absolutely love it. So if I could, those would be, it would be either Jim Carrey or Dave Chappelle. And I did meet Dave Chappelle one time.
You did? Oh,
I did. I was working a show though, so I had to keep it professional, but you know, it was still cool to see him. I was like, that dude, I was like, yeah, that's a big ass dude.
Is he?
Dude, he has gotten yoked up, man. He has gotten yoked up. Mm-hmm.
He looks a lot. Yeah, he was like a wiry kid during the show. Yes. So, yeah, now he looks totally different.
Yes. All right, last question for you. Yep. What's a bad habit you had that you've been able to overcome?
Ooh, I mean, I quit smoking at one point, but that was a while ago. Nice. My 30s. I smoked most During my 20s, I smoked the whole time. 30s, mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's kind of a boring one. Let me see if I can think of another one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Other bad habits. Yeah, I guess that's the best one I got. I quit drinking at one point for 4 years, but then I started again, so I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Stick with smoking.
Yeah, I still need to. I need to quit smoking myself. It is at that point where it's like, all right, dude, I gotta do something to change it. I gotta try to be around here as long as I can.
I have a recommendation for you. I really went deep on this guy named Alan Carr one day. Once when I was trying to, I was like, I'm gonna quit alcohol, and I came across this guy named Alan Carr, who came up with this book called The Easy Way to Quit Alcohol. And it was really effective, for sure.
Oh,
but his claim to fame is easy way to quit smoking. He's dead now, and there's clinics all over the country for this. But, you know, he used to be like a 40 cigarette a day guy.
Damn.
And he was like two packs a day. And he quit, and he sort of came up with this method. And I recommend reading the book because the book acts as a program to get you to quit smoking. I highly recommend it because it's really the way that he deals with it is effective. I haven't read the smoking one, but I'm sure it's exactly the same as the alcohol one. So right. I also read his, he has some other ones like that, but yeah, I would highly, he's changed millions of smokers' lives. Cause like it's a big, he has clinics all over the country for this stuff. So that would be my recommendation for sure.
I just put it into my cart.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. The audiobooks are good too. Yeah. Yeah, totally, totally recommend it for sure. It's so hard, man. Like,
it is.
I've never been into hard drugs or anything, but I've battled little addictions throughout my life with all sorts of things like food, alcohol, like cigarettes that I overcame. And like, it's not your fault. It's the fucking drug.
Right.
It's not your fault. You know,
but
like
it is designed to make you get addicted to it. Exactly.
Yeah, they are engineered for it. It's like, I put refined sugar in the same category, like literally right. No benefit. Like it's there so that you keep buying it. So big food started putting it in all the foods and cigarettes, right. Like no benefit at all. They just, it's just there to addict you.
It's just
like,
there.
Alcohol, actually no benefit at all. It's just there to addict you. Like it's tough, man. It's tough when it's not your fault, 'cause you feel like you're a victim and you are, but then how do you escape that prison? You know, I think
right, exactly.
So many people deal with, and I know I've dealt with. So,
yep.
So where can we? Oh, by the way, dude, I know you don't have any time, but at some point we got to talk about doing something with video games. We got to talk about doing something.
No,
maybe
dude,
we build something like a weekly YouTube channel show that like doesn't take much time to put together, where we can
right
Twitch a lot and stuff like and dude, your shows too, if you ever need a guest, talk about video games, I'm your guy.
Absolutely, anything, dude, man.
So and where can we see those? Tell us how to find your stream and your podcasts.
Yeah, you could, I mean basically everything. I am Smitty 2447 on all platforms, social wise. You can look up LAN parties on any, it's on all podcasting services, also on YouTube. But most of those links, if you go to my Twitter at Smitty2447, that has links, and I push most of my content and stuff like that either on Twitter or Instagram, all over there. So basically Smitty2447 is where you can find all my stuff at. But we are doing it. We are rocking and rolling. I've got the we do a live podcast, the CFG Gamecast on CFG Games. That's tonight at 5 PM, or I'm sorry, 6 PM PST. We record that and do that live. Yeah, and then that drops on Mondays, and then LAN parties every Wednesday. We have a new episode of LAN parties as well, so check it out. And again, thank you so much for having me on and dealing with my shenanigans yesterday. I'm gonna call myself out.
All right, dude, it was fun. I mean, selfish. I mean, obviously, we always get along. We've known each other for a long time, but I don't have anybody to talk about video games with either. I freaking love it, man.
Yes.
I literally just sit by myself and play. So always good to chat video games. And
yes.
I mean, Twitch is something that we should all be paying attention to, too. Like, whether we're there or not, like, it's important to know. And we always overlook it. Like, on my side of things, in the, like, media, like, online business building, online media, like, all that stuff that I do, we ignore Twitch. Just like we have ignored Discord for so long because we just felt like we were just gamer. Discord's doing a better job than another conversation as we're wrapping it up, but Discord's done a better job than Twitch, I feel like, branching out. So maybe they can learn something. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, dude. Thanks so much for being here, and thanks you all. I will catch you next week. Cheers.